I want to read from the back of today's guest's book, 101 Ways to Help Public Schools. And the question is, how can you help local public schools? People too often believe that they have no way to get involved in public schools, but it's just not true, according to Jim Schmidt. Did you know that a church can sponsor a prom, or that your company CEO can give an in-class lecture? How would you like to be the person to instill patriotic pride into our nation's children, or produce the next school play? How about helping your school's team win the state championship? Well, these questions and many more are answered in this imaginative book written by renowned children's expert and today's Roadshow guest, Jim Schmidt. With over 25 years' experience working in child development as Armadillo Jim, he knows what it takes to motivate and inspire our nation's youth. And that's what we're going to talk about, is inspiring our youth and inspiring us to help our public schools. We're going to take a short break for music, call a friend. Armadillo Jim is here. We got some great ideas coming up here in just 2 minutes.
This is The Roadshow. I'm Roberta Potts. David Warren and I have been joined by Jim Schmidt, Armadillo Jim. And Jim, I have to tell you this story. The first time years ago when you were, at least the first time when I was with you on the program, Miss Kim was still here. And Kim wanted me to hold the armadillo on my lap. And I had on this nice business suit, and I did not want to hold that armadillo on my lap. But you kept saying, oh, Roberta, you need to hold the armadillo. And you kept saying, Roberta, for the children, won't you hold the armadillo? I could have killed you at that moment. Anyway, I finally put the armadillo on my lap. I was really frightened. I didn't know what the armadillo would do to me.
And people could hear that.
Yes, people could tell. Well, anyway, somehow I survived that program. About a month later, I got a letter from a lady who had been listening to the program that day. Her husband had died about a year before that. And she said, Roberta, when my husband died, I could not laugh. She said, there was no way. For a year, I have not been able to laugh or see anything funny in life at all until that program. She said, when you didn't want to put that armadillo on your lap, she said, I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. She said, thank you so much for opening up laughter to me.
Wow, that blesses me.
See
thank
what
you.
God did?
And the power of radio, too. People using their imagination. That's awesome.
That
thank
was
you.
Just so cool.
Thank
well,
you so
well,
much.
Well, I'm going to segue off that last statement you just made about using your imagination. You are an idea guy. Have you always been an idea guy?
I believe so. When I grew up on the cotton farm in Schulenburg, Texas, I would go to my brothers and sisters with all these, you ask them, these brainy ideas. They would go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I remembered when I was at President Bush's inauguration, I was standing underneath Charles Lindbergh's plane, and the Holy Spirit reminded me. I looked up and saw Charles Lindbergh's plane waiting for a president to be introduced. I'm holding my armadillo. I mean, a dream come true for a little Texas farm boy. He's at presidential inauguration, and I saw Charles Lindbergh's plane, and all of a sudden I had a flash or a vision back to when I was that 8-year-old boy on a cotton farm in Schulenburg, Texas, and I remember it was hot, it was the summertime, and I was picking a boll weevil off the back of my neck, and I looked up as that little farm boy, and I looked up and I saw an airplane going overhead. This was in the mid late 50s, and I said, someday I'm going to get off this farm and I'm going to travel the country in an airplane. Little did I know that I would pick a luggage-looking pet of an armadillo to take me there. But I had that imagination that always I want to do more than just, you know, nothing. I think farming is great, but it wasn't for me. You know, you had to do ideas. And one of the first things out of college, I was with the Houston Oilers, and we promoted the Love You Blue campaign. It's still one of the most successful sports promotions in history. So I just want to encourage people that you when God finds, you know, that heart, that place in your heart, and Jesus Christ comes in, it doesn't mean he's calling you out of those gifts and moving you somewhere else. I think sometimes we miss it and go, well, I got to be a pastor or evangelist now. Sometimes he's saying, stay right where you're at, but now do it with the anointing and the heart of Jesus Christ.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. You have written a new book, Helping Public Schools, 101 Ways to Increase Your Influence and Significance. And you have so many good ideas in this book. Tell us about why you wrote this.
Well, I had to obey. many years ago, the Lord began to speak to me about helping pastors do outreach. If I've given you the tools to get into public schools, does not Ephesians 4:11 says that we're called as gifts to the body of Christ to equip the saints for the work of the ministry? And I would see these other ideas working, and I'd jot them down. And then in December of this year, an inventor came to me, and he had this idea he wanted me to run with. And I started running with it, and then nothing was happening. And I went, Lord, you can really bless the kingdom with this. You know, I'm going to tithe and give her a percentage of this invention, and it's for youth. And it wasn't happening, and I had to go back and began to pray. And it was like, why are you running with something new when you haven't done what I've told you back here? And immediately I said, okay. And I sat down, and in 3 nights, I was finished with that book.
Well, what was he telling you back then about public schools? He, God.
It's something that was sort of a burden on my heart.
And let me add just real quickly.
Sure.
If someone has just tuned in, your armadillo gym, you have gone into so many public schools with the armadillos, you're able to see firsthand some of the problems that
Yes. We
as maybe even parents don't even go into school as much, that you saw some things.
Yes. My gift has made room for me in the public schools, and I've been able to talk to janitors, to bus drivers, to superintendents, you name it, and I just see that they can be such disciples for the children. They have direct one-on-one contact with the children. And so these ideas began to come to me. So how can the church not see the schools as a Canaan land with giants in it, but how can they see, just in case we stand before the Lord one day and he says, I gave you the schools, the buildings, the water fountains, the floors, they're air conditioned, and you didn't do anything with them. So I thought, with my experience and God's, you know, the Holy Spirit beginning to speak to me, I can equip pastors and other people who have maybe even heard from pulpits themselves that, well, we've been kicked out of public school. Well, we can't preach the Bible. We can't preach the Word. None of that is true. Even prayer has never been taken out of school. Yet we believe that it was. They just kind of tweaked the law saying you can't force a child to pray. But prayer was never taken out. The Bible was never taken out. People like Armadillo Jim or your... I'm sure you want to ask about some ideas, but giving the janitors an appreciation dinner where the church is supposed to be the first arm of Christ of saying thank you for cleaning up the puke of our children. Thank you for... Who do you think was the first one after Columbine that the emergency crew looked for? Wasn't the principal. Wasn't anyone at the school of great authority except the one with the keys. Where's that door? How do you go here? Who lines the buses up? Who knows if a child forgot the backpack? When we can minister to that custodian or janitor and we get them on our team, then they're going to have that one-on-one contact with a child and say, Jesus loves you. God's got a plan for your life. So we begin to become the arms of Jesus in the public schools by forming relationships with people who already have one-on-one contact with that student.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love
Amen.
It. You have so many great ideas in this book. Some of your favorites include, and please explain what you mean, the Extreme Teacher's Lounge Makeover.
what teacher wouldn't say, who did this Monday morning when they walk into their lounge? It's probably the same lounge for 20 years with the same water fountain in the corner of the room that's all scummy and tile falling in.
And the cruddy couch.
And the cruddy couch when they come in and go, what is this? Is this our room? They'll have to go back out the door, look in again and go, who did this? Pastor so-and-so and the members of the First Church of Jesus, you know? And they're going to go, I mean, their whole outlook on Christians and the church and the false wall of separation is going to be dissolved.
That's phenomenal, because a lot of pastors have people in their congregation who could donate a brand new couch.
Yes.
And all the things, it just takes someone to spearhead this idea, pick a school that they want to sponsor, and just make it happen.
Crossings Community Church in Oklahoma City, in your listening area, just did their annual Bridging the Gap. They had over 400 members go to 7 selected schools in Oklahoma City. They painted, they cleaned, they did all kind of things. And the youth group went and painted the state seal at one of the meeting areas out on the concrete. Now, what child is not going to say, wow, what happened to my school? Who did this? The media covered it. So talk about bridging the gap. The media is seeing, wait a minute, churches can be in schools. Wait a minute. And the superintendent, the principals were all there to help, but mostly to say, thank you for doing this.
Here's another idea, Roberta, from the idea man himself. I think you should be called Idea Jim Schmidt instead of Armadillo Jim Schmidt. You write, Pastor, are you driving your school bus? Better to have a guaranteed audience twice a day than hope for one on Sunday. Ooh, that's good.
Yes, and I do not mean to be critical, because the local church is still where we're trying to funnel these children to. But pastors in America, we need to realize that we have 45 million children and students out there, and we're in a boat sometime repainting the boat or putting a new seat in or repainting the lettering, when all we have to do is dive into the 45 million. We don't even need a cane pole or a hook, because when you dive into 45 million, you're going to catch something.